Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. You know what? Whether you feel like that or not, it's going to be a good morning. You know why? Because you have another chance to get things right. You have another opportunity to tell God you love Him. You got another opportunity to do whatever it's going to take to make amends with someone that you probably had a falling out with. You get another opportunity to say, I'm sorry. And all of that is going to be needed and necessary when you decide that you're going to march for God. Welcome again to our show. Somebody, please get your phone muted. This is not the day. This is not the time to get people off the line, because they will email me and say, oh, I couldn't hear. I kept hearing some shape-shifting. I was moving around. This is not the day and the time on the Global Vision for Living Today show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for calling in and saying, hey, I want to hear whatever it is that is going to make me a better person. But, you know, we've been running this series, Who Will March for God? This is Who Will March for God, Part 3. So many enjoyed it. But, you know, whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he's going to reap. And we can't make any doubt about that, especially knowing that our world and all within it is being watched to fall and has been judged a failure. There can be no winners in a world living, moving, and going about ignoring principles of life and sound reason. Nothing is working, some say. Nothing is going right, some say. And we know that man will not prosper or succeed without guidance from its creator. What can we do to get back on the right track? Or is it too late? Has there ever been a right track? Well, we're going to hear about that today. We have, I see on the line, Colonel Dr. William Harrison. He's been with us over a year. Every week, I think he's missed maybe four sessions in over a year. And that's because he has something to say that you want to hear. Who Will March for God, Part 3. Colonel Dr. Harrison, how are you doing this morning?
Doing fine. Good morning. Good morning to Dr. Capitino, listening audience. Thank you again for the invite. All is well. All is well.
Huh? All right. Well, we're hoping as well, because I know you have something good to say to our listening audience that will make their lives better today than it was yesterday. Now, I understand that your organization, the International Platform for Peace, USA Division, that can be reached at www.ip4peace.org. I hear you guys are planning something really great for our world, not just for the locale that we're in, coming up in January. And while it might appear to be a march for God, you guys are going to caravan for God. Tell us a little bit about this event that's slated for January 2021.
Certainly, the International Platform for Peace is currently planning for a nationwide revival that will be held there in Los Angeles, California, to make people aware of God and draw them closer to God and offer an opportunity for them to really come and experience the presence of God in such a climate and environment. For such a time as this, with the pandemic and everything upon us, so that we're looking forward to. The other thing is the caravan that we'll have probably happen sometime in the early February, where there'll be a motorcade caravan along the West Coast to highlight the importance and significance of us promoting peace, faith, and family, in addition to us drawing closer and nigh unto God, to help encourage each other and let us know that we're not alone and that we're each other's brother and sister's keeper.
Wow, that sounds great. But let me get back to the original question. which was to discuss the caravan and its purpose. You say this caravan is for God. I was under the impression from reading the website that it was a caravan to promote peace and to meet other so-called non-strangers along the way. Route 66, that's what your website talks about. Mm-hmm. And I know that starts here on the West Coast and it ends on the East Coast. It doesn't say that it's a caravan for God. It says it's a caravan to promote peace and, of course, good conditions, you know, welfare among men. Tell us how that came about, that concept, because I know people are marching all over the world. I've been up practically all night taking notes on what's going on around the world and, of course, sending out the emails to the appropriate people. And I think people right now, they're concerned with, oh, we better hurry up and get together. You know, China's saying this, Germany's saying this, Russia's saying that. So even though we're in America, we aren't slating really what's actually happening. So can you tell us how this concept came about, this caravan across America? How did that come about, and what do you guys hope to accomplish?
Okay, sure. Certainly. Let me just clarify. I sort of ran two thoughts together. The revival on fire will be January, Set Them Apart in Los Angeles, and that will be to promote and highlight the importance of God and us drawing nigh to God and depending upon God and get to know who God is. The caravan from the West Coast to the East Coast, that is a concept to promote peace, faith, and family, because it's difficult to live in a community, in a home, in a neighborhood, or with ourselves without peace. We certainly need faith, because faith helps to sustain us, and family is the root of and the foundation of not only our households, but the essence of who we are and what we're raised up or trained to be. And so we came about that. The board had a meeting in order to highlight the awareness. The board wanted to do a follow-up to our Peace March that was held 2016. That was nationwide, and eventually it spread to other countries to have this caravan to, in light of, in spite of the pandemic, to let people know that there's still opportunity, there's still other considerations, there's still provisions for us to do other things other than just focus on being fearful of a pandemic. We can come together, we can caravan, we can help lift people's spirits and countenance and get them involved, get them to participate and focus on peace, faith, and family. And so this is to highlight the awareness, to mobilize and unify and unite people in regards to that and turn their attention to focusing on that and the importance of peace, faith, and family.
That's good. Okay, peace, faith, and family. So that means every human being is included. Those that might not be going to church, those that might not want to get involved in any ministry, or those that have walked away from our mainstream churches. So are these people also to be included? I know you mentioned the revival for God. Your website says it's a revival by fire. So the fire part, would you like to stress that, even though we're kind of not there? We're not talking about the revival right now. We're talking about the caravan. But since we brought that revival up, I guess we'll have to say a little bit about it. It's in the works. It's in the plans. But according to your website, it says revival by fire. And I know you mentioned revival by God. That's great. But I think right now people are less inclined to want to discuss anything that they're at that point. People are upset with God, and you might want to, you know, jump in on that. They're upset with God. They're blaming God for world conditions. They're blaming the preachers for not taking the opportunity to really teach them the word, because, you know, I'm of the disposition that if people really know God, know how he feels, know what he thinks, there are some things they're just not going to do. But some are going around proclaiming I didn't know that. I didn't know this. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Now we're going there because you had two opportunities. You talk about the caravan, and you're off on the revival. I don't want to confuse our listening audience. That caravan, it doesn't really have anything to do with the revival. The caravan is one of the opportunities, according to your website, that the International Platform for Peace presents. You guys presents four opportunities per year for the world to come together under the agenda that you guys have created. But this revival by fire, since you mentioned that, let's just step away from the caravan for right now, because that's the topic, who will march for God. We're not marching. We're driving. We are driving across the country, according to your website. Now, this revival by fire, how did that come about? Is that something you guys have done every January? I looked on the site, and it actually showed that every January you have that. Is this something that you're going to open the year up with a bang? And when you talk about a revival, that means reviving the spirit, and you say it's got to be by fire. How did that concept come about? And is all invited? Where is that going to be held? What is that going to be about, since January is coming soon? And then, of course, February, you are right. Your website talks about the actual caravan. Oh, boy, I sure hope I can make it. Talk to us about this revival. Is it something that you're looking forward? People are looking forward. Should anybody be interested in a revival? What if they say, oh, I don't need that? Talk to us about this revival by fire.
Yes, the purpose of the revival is part of the International Platform for Peace Board agenda and yearly schedule. And since January is the beginning of a new year, according to the traditional calendar, we desire to start the year off with something that is very motivational, inspirational, uplifting, and encouraging. So we considered the revival several years ago. And so revival by fire, the idea of a revival is to renew, revive, refresh us. And so those who, whether they know God or not, they can come, they can worship, they can be refreshed, they can experience the power and the importance of just being in such an environment like that. I'm reminded of William Seymour. He was an Afro-American preacher, had a great revival back in the mid-1800s there in the city of Los Angeles, California. That's where this revival by fire, we hope to have it there in the city of L.A. as well. So many people were exposed, and it brought so many people together from all walks of life without regards to race, nationality, color, a creed, a sexual orientation. It brought so many people together, and so many people got to know about the true and living God. So the revival is just to unite people, bring people together, give them inspiration, also give them knowledge and understanding who God is. Revival back east, most churches still have a revival the spring and fall of the year. Down south, the Bible Belt, sometimes they have 2 to 3 revivals a year. So it's just to mobilize, bring people together, give them inspiration, give them hope, renew their outlook and their perspective on life, and let them know that there's something else that they can hold on to, cling to, people they can cleave to, so they can grow knowledge and understanding of love and kindness toward one another, and then eventually lead them to the one who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is the author of love, who is love himself, who is God, Jehovah.
Wow, yes. You know, I think I know a little bit about that God who calls himself Jehovah. You know, it explains and talks about him in Psalms 83. But now, you mentioned some very important things you've said about this revival, whether they know God or not, or they recognize the creator God. You know, there's many, many gods, and I found out there are over 1 billion Muslims in the U.S., over 1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It's either U.S. or worldwide. I better change that. They said 1 billion. And they're doing some very strange things over there now in the name of Islam overseas now. I won't get into that. But now we're going to get back to the revival. So people that need to be recaptivized and revived from a dead-like state or whatever state they have found and find themselves in. A revival, meaning, hey, wake up, you know, there's something new going on. This revival, the intention you mentioned is to tell people about God and bring them back to God and I guess have them, I don't know, stand up and proclaim, okay, I know God and I'm going to get to know him. And I don't think people are going to be able to serve a God they don't know anything about. And so I guess your revival is going to be part a teaching, I guess.
Yes.
What is going to be an agenda in a world that has turned against God, turned against family, the nuclear family, and turned against children? You don't hear too many people crying and suffering along with children that don't know what's going on. They're afraid. They can't go outside and play. Some are being thrown off of buildings. I mean, are you guys just coming together to talk? Because a lot of that is already going on. And no change. Nothing. No change. No real change. So this revival by fire, I know fire cleanses, it heals. It also annihilates and it does away with it. Fire demolishes. I can say a lot about that. So this revival by fire, it is not just going to be talkers talking about God, because anybody want to hear about God, they know where to go. I turn the TV on Sunday all day. So it's not going to be about talking. What else are you guys going to do at this January 2021 revival by fire? What else is on the agenda?
There will be preaching, there will be teaching, and we'll have follow-up with people. We'll make referrals to people, to various worship centers and churches, and prayerfully finding out what their needs are and making referral for them with regards to their need. But the primary purpose of the revival is to teach and preach and give people encouragement, give them inspiration, give them hope, let them know that their life is valuable, their life is worth something, and even though they may not have any knowledge or understanding of God, Jehovah, Allah, of the Great Spirit, they will come to understanding of who they are and their relationship to the supreme supernatural being of heaven and earth and the entire universe. So we want to bring people together, give them hope, give them knowledge, give them encouragement, give them inspiration, and then refer them so they can follow up if they so desire to get additional knowledge, additional understanding. And because they may not know, because the world is going in one direction, it doesn't mean that the world is right, because someone had to create the world, the heaven and the earth and everything, the moon, the sun, the stars. It certainly wasn't man. It certainly wasn't woman. It wasn't a child. So they'll come to the full knowledge and understanding that there's someone superior to us, someone else they can go to, that they can seek, they can draw nigh and get a better understanding and draw a closer relationship so they can, the person, can change their quality of life by seeking the person who has the ability to change their quality of life, who is God, Jehovah.
Yeah, wow, yeah, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, God, Jehovah. Hey, yay, Jehovah. That sounds wonderful. But you know what I'm thinking about? When we think about this revival by fire, that means whoever's going to be coming, standing around, manning the cross, they already know something about some God somewhere. I'll just put it like that, some God somewhere. So that means to revive, that means they all that word. They already has been, already were. They just need to be, maybe you use the word encouraged, but they need to be almost spiritually resurrected in order to be revived, because when you revive, that means they already were, and you're just, bringing them to an awakened state. Of course, the word awakens all, but that's what I was thinking. It also means to rejuvenate. So they always, mm-hmm. once were, it's like a person been going to church for 30 years, then he leaves, then he come back 1 year later. He's coming back, I would imagine, to be rejuvenated. He already has. He already was. He already was, has been. So he's coming back to be rejuvenated, you know, like a skinned sheep, you know, like a sheep that's gone astray, mm-hmm. like the mm-hmm. story that it's best to, you know, go get the one. He's going to leave the 99 or whatever it is, go get the one. So this revival means revive, meaning to bring them back to life again. That's, I'm looking at the definition mm-hmm. on the computer.
Yes.
That's really what it is. So this revival sounds like it's for ministers, preachers, judges, people that have been in the Word and have gotten off of the Word because of false teaching and crazy deeds by their pastors. This revive, to bring back to life again, is, I don't think, from what I'm not, you know, knowing that, and you can correct me, that is just for anybody to stumble in off the street, sit down there, look and listen. I think from the title of this that you guys are going to be taking the hardcore, has been, used to be, disfellowship people even. These people are coming to be revived. I'm sick of who I am. I'm sick of who I have become. So I'm coming to this revival to be rejuvenated. I know God, but I've let God down. I turned my back on God. I got mad at God, and I left God's presence. So these people are coming back to be rejuvenated as skinned sheep. So this revival, are you saying, and I think you did, I heard you say this, are you saying that you're going to throw God in the faces, back into the faces and back into the heart of those that got off the track? You should have been, but you got off. You should have kept going, but you strayed. So, and that was the phrase my daddy used. I'm going to give a shout out for Bishop James Howard Mims. So are you saying that this revival is not just going to be a couple of hours, you know, and I have nothing to do, so I'm going to go check them out? No, don't come to that revival to do any checkout. You come to do a checkup with a new relationship with God. Is that what you're saying this revival is about? Because I'm getting excited just talking about it. Is this what you're going to offer?
Yes, yes, we are talking about really bringing people back to life, spiritual life.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes, yes, spiritual life through the preaching and teaching of ministers and pastors that are anointed, that ordain, because something, your body, our three-dimensional composition, mankind, womankind, or mankind, woman, man, woman, and child, is made up of three dimensions: spirit, body, and soul. Spirit, body, and soul. The outward part of us, of course, is our physical flesh. The inward part, the invisible soul. Within the soul is the spirit of God, which is within man, woman, and child. We are reviving that spirit of God, Jehovah. That is what will bring them back to life and give them inspiration and give them encouragement, give them hope, give them determination, uplift them, and lead them in the direction they need to go, where they can go and get help and become restored and get resources they need and not be filled with depression and be dismayed and be downtrodden and thinking that no one cares about them. We are concerned about those who are least of them, the beggar on the street, the homeless person on the street, whoever it is, whomsoever may come, and we will minister unto them and help restore them.
That sure is great, because, people are saying here on the West Coast that these people for years have been getting free food, free medical, free dental, free anything, free car wash, free cheese, free. They said the churches here have turned this thing out and around. They said Jesus didn't walk around with a block of cheese. And you know what? I had to think about that. They said Jesus didn't walk around with a six-pack. Nor is there any record of his apostles. And so with that down-to-earth thinking, what really was the mission? Now, we're on God, so I guess we better stick on that. If he didn't do it, is that the work of the church to send people out to get a box of free food? And I'm saying that because I got a question here on our dashboard. We got some lively people this morning. Hey. That, and I have to agree with that. That was not his central position to do that. And right now, I don't think people need to go to hear about God for them to say, hey, you go over here and get some food, you go and get that. He said, I'm bringing you the bread of life, the bread. And that was not literal food. It was the word of God. So do you think the churches need to go back to really teaching the word of God and stay out of the world? Stay out of the world. He said, you are in it, but not part of it. Stay out of it. Stop. Don't even try to hide behind a box of food. This is what I would tell them. And in my former walk, that's what I actually did do. So do you think your group is going to line up with the teaching like that, that you're going to give them the word of God? You have nothing else to give them. Nothing else is work. Just feed them for them to go out and enjoy more wickedness. Your goal, I understand from your website, you mentioned that you're going to teach, you're going to preach, but you're going to restore, restoration, you're going to rejuvenate people as far as scripture is concerned, and then let them make their own call. Is that what you're telling the audience?
That's that, but aside from that, Doc and listening audience, before anyone can be effectively ministered to, if I'm homeless and I'm hungry and I don't have no shelter, no place to live, no place to lay my head, no food to eat, no water to drink, the Bible says if they're hungry, feed them. If they thirst, give them drink. If they're naked, clothe them. We're going to do our best to take care of their physical needs so that then they'll be in a position and have the mindset to want to hear the preach and taught word. Certain basic needs will have to be taken care of.
Okay, because now we got about 30 on here that is going crazy. Okay, that's the government's job. Some are saying that's the government's job. So that's why the churches have failed.
Also the church.
Pastor, hold it. Hold it, I'm talking. I'm reading now. That is not the work of the church. I'm not going to argue with it or say anything. I'm just reading what I'm reading. That is not the work of the church. Jesus did not say that. There was a group of apostles that formed decades after Christ was crucified. And Paul said, I'm going to leave this need and that need to the congregation and this, this, and that. But the original teaching of Jesus Christ, some are saying that. I don't know if that theologian, I don't know. But by the time we feed and clothe and most people are gone. They come just to get food and drink, and they're gone. You see the lines at the churches getting free boxes. They don't show up on Sunday. I think we need to get back on that. Thank you guys for your questions. We've had Dr. Reverend Colonel William Harrison on the show. I see why you guys tune in because, hey, this is off the chain. You guys love this. God bless you. I want you to have a great weekend. And if you want to contact Dr. William Harrison, you can. I'm going to put his information here on the dashboard, and you can do so. Thank you for tuning in, Dr. Harrison. We always have a lot of your time. I can't wait until you have that revival. I need to be rejuvenated. I need to be made whole again. And most of all, I need to be led back to God, the only true God whose name is Jehovah. Have a great weekend. God bless you and know that we love you in that name. Hallelujah. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.